The golden rule says you should treat others the way you want to be treated. But an unfortunate truth is that idea doesn't account for the driving power of wanting to prove someone wrong or get even. Media moguls Vince McMahon and Ted Turner turned the 90s cable airwaves into an open war zone of professional wrestling with millions of fans. The global superpowers of the 20th century even threw down to be the first to send a man to the moon, just as a flex. There are stories where people crash and burn in perceived mutual hatred, too. Like naturalist Charles Waterton humiliating himself trying to bring down American birding icon James Audubon. But that's the beauty of beef. It's funny, it's dark, it's humanity in a nutshell. And it's a triple gold signal award-winning show from Next Chapter Podcasts. I'm Bridget Todd. Join me as I serve up the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Listen to Beef wherever you get your podcasts.
First order of business.
What I don't want to do is be like, we're, the world is like revolving around us.
Okay, stop right there. That is what you want to do, so just continue doing it.
But clitorally is taking over the world. The number of people that message me, clitorally, the number of people that will, in conversation, not on this podcast, when I'll go literally, and both of us just look at each other, and then they'll go clitorally, like they will correct me and say clitorally. The number of, so I was going out to my friend Liz's house for Memorial Day weekend in Cape Cod, and she texted me on the side saying, just PS, like, we cannot say clitorally in front of my husband. And I, like, lost my mind.
Wait. But why, though? Why?
Because she was like, that's just not the I've never met her husband before. And that just, like, is absolutely not, like, the first impression I need to, like, lead with.
Oh, see, that's the one I want.
Which makes sense.
Sure.
And then we ended up, like, secretly, like, saying clitorally to each other, like, under our breath.
That's
and it's,
hilarious.
Like, so funny. And also, I don't say it in real life, but now I kind of do because of that. And it's, we're
not,
setting
a Not only do I say it in real life, I overuse it in real life to the point where when we come out with merch with that word on it, my friends will buy the merch just to burn it. That's how often I use the word in my actual day-to-day. They're over it. I need to hear my dad use it and then I'm gonna know we've peaked. That's when merch comes out, when my dad uses it in regular conversation.
I think that, speaking of your dad, I think that your dad should come on this podcast and talk about, like, when the Vanderpump Rules, like, reunion is over, I think we need a special episode with your father.
He would love that. There's absolutely we will have to bleep a lot of what he says. It'll be very off color.
That's okay. We can edit.
He uses phrases that people don't use when describing, like, you know, like when Lala and Ariana had hooked up in the back of the car, he uses different terminology.
Yes, you read that. It was like mowed her lawn or something.
Something
like that.
Like that.
No, but that's so great.
Obviously, that was the first order of business. Second order of business must be the Succession finale, which, as of press time, you just watched like an hour ago.
Just watched it, hot off the presses.
Okay.
I want to hear what you have to say first, because I'm going to be like, I want to hear, like, from a fan what you think.
I will tell you, yes. Well, first of all, there was definitely a moment. I watched it with my husband and some friends that were visiting us for the holiday weekend. Everything we did during the weekend revolved around the Sunday night 9 p.m. hour. It was like things we were doing on Friday morning. I had to make sure they were not somehow going to tangentially affect Sunday at 9. They did not. We gathered around the television. There was a moment 45 minutes into it when I looked at everyone in the room and said, I'm going to have to stand up when I watch the rest of this, because sometimes when it's something I can't sit down.
Yeah, you need
when
to
I'm
be
very
mobile.
I have to pace behind everybody. It's very creepy, but I have to stand and watch the television. In short, I loved it. I know a lot of people did not love it, but it was, the further away I get from it, the more brilliant I think that it was, because it sort of we all should have known what the finale was going to be if we've watched all 4 years of the show.
Yeah,
there were callbacks to things within the episode and things from season one. Like, as you move further away from it, you might think to yourself, as I did, this was the only ending. And it was fantastic. It was the most Succession episode ever, because even the cast will tell you that they find it weird that anyone describes this show as a drama, because to them it has always been just a very dark comedy.
The darkest.
And, I mean,
like a black hole of a comedy.
The darkest comedy that's ever gotten this amount of attention, for
yeah,
sure.
Correct.
I mean, and spoiler alert, everybody, like, if you don't want to know how it ended, you should shut off and
fast forward like 10 minutes and we're good. Yeah,
but
at this point.
Mean, everything. But I mean, just the closing shot of Kendall basically being the same person that his siblings imitated 20 minutes prior was hilarious. Like, it was incredibly cynical, as was every episode of the show. I understand some people wanted like a bigger bang out of the ending. I mean, I don't know. Some of these people, I think, wanted Shiv to give birth onto
like
Jerry's
on
head while
yeah,
she was beating Roman. Like, what did you think was going to happen here? Like, at least as outlandish as it got, it was always grounded in reality. And that's what happened here. But Tom and Shiv holding hands in the end, my God. I mean, my God. Because to quote a line, you know, Shiv saying Tom will suck whoever's dick is biggest in the room. And then Shiv not only becomes that person, but turns into her mother in 15 minutes. It now just makes sense why the writers made her pregnant and we rarely referenced it. I mean, very misogynistic, very cynical, but fucking brilliant. And these performances, these three, Jesus H. Christ, so good.
And isn't that the show, though, really, is like, oh, they're so rich, like, on paper because of the value of something that they hold. And, like, it's not real. And you know what I mean? And, like, it's, I mean, obviously, we don't have to go into, like, capitalism and, like, the comment of, like, everything is just an illusion. But, like, they just sign a paper and then, like, they get their payout and then they're, like, done. And that, in theory, their power just goes away forever.
Yeah. And that's Roman's final line, that was it. He's like, this is bullshit. We are bullshit. You are bullshit.
Yeah.
I am bullshit. This is all bullshit. That's sort of, it was the thesis of the show, basically, is that we're all bullshit.
Well, and you know what's funny is, like, I thought about it and I was like, didn't Kendall, like, basically kill someone in season one of this show? Like, I wonder if, like, I guess that's never going to come back up. Like, kind of went back into this little wormhole of like, oh, I thought that was going to come out and that was going to be like leverage and blah, blah, blah. And then it like really is like a reason at the very end of the show that.
Brilliant. Because in pursuit of power, which, I mean, you could name 10 people right instantly about who actually do this in our daily lives, you public officials, celebrities, etc. But when he's trying to gaslight his own siblings at the end and just saying, that never happened, I made it up. And they're looking at him like, are you out of your fucking mind? But public officials do that to us all the time. And half the population just says, okay, and goes along with it. Like, when you, how you expect people to behave when you have money and power, just another thesis of the show. That was all that last scene in the boardroom when they all just got physical. And I jumped in the air. And when Kendall made contact with Shiv and I just said, she's pregnant.
It was very, as someone who has been publicly on this podcast poo-pooed the last couple episodes, the finale, in my opinion, was 10 out of 10.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because I knew you were fencing it, you know.
What can this end? Like, I was just like, I'm done. I was like, I'm done with the show. Like, let's wrap it up. You know what I mean?
That's absolutely. You're not the only one who feels that way. And I think the brilliance of Jesse Armstrong, the creator and executive producer, is that he knew exactly when to end it too. Like, this could not have gone on for another season.
No, God, no.
We got what we needed. We got what we wanted. It was just so good. All the performances were so good. I was so glad we got to spend time with the kid's mother for an episode just to see what an abject failure she acknowledged she was.
Hate her. Like, they couldn't hate her more. Well, it's so funny because now, then they're all and their siblings and they're this and they're all together. And then the minute that the deal goes down, they just like all part ways to in theory, never see each other ever again, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're to believe.
And I said to everyone in the room who I was watching with as they sort of transitioned from you're watching it and sort of tearing up because they're getting along and they're fucking around and he's licking the cheese and they're imitating each other. And it's like, and then the next time the three of them together, it's just war.
Absolute mayhem.
And they're so mean to each other all the time. And for me, I am an only child. My entire life, the way those siblings talk to each other, that's all I ever hear when I hear siblings speak to each other. Like, that tone, that viciousness has something that shocks me. Like, people in my family, my friends, anytime. The way that people speak to their siblings has always been so, I don't want to say appalling, but it is diabolical. I mean, it's like, these are the people that these are your first best friends. And so you know how to really pick them apart when you're growing up with them. And that's that sort of tone, that sibling tone, that's always what I hear when people are talking to their brothers and sisters. So I'm saying that aspect of the show is entirely realistic.
Yeah, no, I really liked that it was like this power play. It's that thing of just like, it's so funny because I just think it's such a joke of like, we have the votes. Okay, the final episode was literally an episode of Survivor.
Yeah. Like,
oh, this person is who we're voting out. Okay, we have to see what it's 6-2. Mm-hmm. Like, we need four more votes to balance it out. And then they go talk to everyone, and they go talk to everyone, and they go talk to everyone, and they go talk, you know what I mean? And then, like, okay, we're going to vote, but, like, wait, hold on. Should it be this person instead? Should we flip it? Should it be, like, everyone's just clamoring? And, like, is that what every business is? Like, do you know what I mean? It's just people literally on a witch hunt just, like, losing mm-hmm. their minds every day, and then, like, someone is the victor at the end of it.
Yeah. Like, insane. Like,
it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. And it was that board, just the board meeting in, just Kendall. I can't. I don't know what else to say about it other than I loved it.
But I mean, I think people are like flying high off the finale. So good for them.
I saw a lot of hate though online.
Oh, really?
The morning after.
But this is the
so
thing.
Much.
Guess what? You want to hear a hot take? Half the people are like, oh, I wish that they would have been like Kendall and Shiv together. And it's like, that's not what this television show is. Do you know what I mean?
And
like,
it never has been. It never has been
succeeding. Like, that's not the point of this. Like, they are idiots. They don't know what they're doing. Kendall has fumbled every single deal he's ever done in the show. Like,
and Shiv was referencing that. Shiv said, I don't think you're going to do a good job. It wasn't just nanny, nanny, poo poo. It was, you pretty much suck at everything since we started here. I don't know,
like,
where
so that's
that
the thing
from.
That people like, you know what I mean? People have like a fantasy of what they want it to be. And it's like, that's not what this television show is, lady. Like, sorry.
Mm-hmm. The only other thing I want to talk about today is to ask you if you are going to any of the gay glut of concerts that are happening this summer. I'm just curious. Taylor, Lizzo, Madonna.
Not going to Taylor. Janet, no, I don't think so.
Beyonce.
I will be going to Beyonce. Where? I have Beyonce tickets. I don't even know. Hassan bought them, so he knows. He's like reluctantly bringing me to the show. And if he hears that I like don't want to go, he will absolutely kick me off to like have someone like more religiously a fan of hers to go in my stead.
Yeah, I'm not going. My two best friends are going to Toronto because they got good, cheaper seats there and asked us to go. And we didn't. I feel like going to Toronto for a concert that wasn't Cher.
It's also just not like from what I'm seeing from the Taylor Swift, it's just like that is my nightmare. Mm-hmm. Like I like powered through it to like go to Lady Gaga last summer, like to go to like a huge football stadium to see someone. It's like the crowds, the parking, the waiting in line, the doing.
People are people do not know how to behave. The last concert I saw, I saw Madame X from Madonna because I knew they were going to take phones and it was in the theater. So I thought it would be more civilized. And it was. I saw Cher at Barclays, but, you know, no one gets like rowdy at a Cher concert. But I stopped going to concerts regularly when I saw Beyonce and Jay-Z's On the Run tour at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. It was a nightmare. It was apocalyptic because people do not know how to behave at a concert. They think that the moment the concert starts, you are supposed to, no matter where your seat is, run as close to the stage as possible and in people's rows. We were in the second row at MetLife, and someone, a group of people said, excuse me, can we get in? And we just thought their seats were at the end of the row. So we backed up so they could get to their seats, but they just stood directly in front of us and didn't move and started eating hot dogs and drinking their Pepsi colas. No, we had tapped him on the shoulder. We're like, hi, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, oh, we couldn't see from back there. I was like, but you're going back there again. Goodbye. We had to basically physically shove them out of there. It was absolute mayhem. My friend, Mark, called 911 from our seats.
Which we call pulling a Tina Knowles to eject not herself, but other people out of the room.
He called MetLife security, and they were not responding quickly enough for him. So he called 911 from our actual
seats. Insane.
It still took them 40 minutes to get down there. By that time, the fucking show was almost over. It was so unpleasant. The whole thing was so unpleasant.
And, like, not for nothing. I mean, I'm going to be absolutely skewered and roasted over an open flame for saying this, but, like, why go to the Taylor Swift concert when you can just literally Google Taylor Swift concert, and you can see second one to second 3 hours and 59 minutes.
Up close. Like, you are a bead of her sweat. You can be that close if you watch it on TV.
It's kind of ruined concerts for me. Is that bad? That, like, even a reputable Instagrams were, like, day one of Beyonce's concert just posting every single, like, outfit she's in. It's like, no, like, no. Like, don't do this. Like, now you're ruining it. You know what I mean?
I hate concerts. Someone recently asked me to go to a concert. Maybe it was at Hammerstein, or what's the one in the West Village? Webster Hall. I was like, where are the seats? Like, oh, it's general admission. I just looked at them.
I don't
know me better than this? Like, no. Are you insane?
See, this is why we're the same, and this is what I like about you.
I would never GA. It even just sit, that's my response to would I sit in GA. Yeah, that's it. That's literally, literally. The response. No.
Speaking of general admission
and absolute chaos, I'm very excited to speak about today's client.
Why don't we bring in our guest?
Let's do it.
All right. We have one of the funniest people that I've ever met. Her name is Sumaira Syed. You know her as Sumaira the Baker on Instagram and TikTok. She is so hilarious. You may have watched her on Food Network's Bake It Till You Make It, as well as the Holiday Baking Championship. Sumaira, the old slapper herself, welcome.
All right, you slagged. Thank you for having me.
We met on Bake It Till You Make It, which is a show on Food Network about bakers that go all across the country competing in competitions. And Sumaira, we get to Dallas, Texas. We walk into Sumaira's house. Me and two of our mutual friends, Dominic, immediately are smitten with this woman. And she had us peeing our pants every time we went to go film there. And we've now become the best of friends.
Yep, that was it. It was just over that one cake, and then we fell in love, did we not?
Yeah. She's one of the... I'm terrified to see what's about to happen when the two of you really get going.
Especially about this subject matter.
Exactly.
So, I mean, when it comes to fixing a celebrity, this is quite... This is a behemoth, really. This is like someone saying, fix religion, fix Wall Street, fix Lindsay Lohan.
I know. I'm rolling my sleeves up right now to get
are you ready
in this one.
Well, let me
literally
ask you, were you now, because when our guests come on, they come to us in different ways. Did Chris give you a list of people that we were fixing and you selected her, or is this just happenstance?
Correct. He gave me a list and I just picked out the addicts. Let me deal with them.
What made you pick her from the list of miscreants on that list?
I have to be honest, right? Okay, so I'm sober, and so I really identify with her insanity, and but you know, that kind of sorry go round that Lindsay Lohan's been on for a few years. But at the mm-hmm. same time, she is like a bit of an enigma, and she's kind of like, if she hadn't gotten herself into a situation where she just started partying and like just basically was ravaged by childhood prodigy kind of syndrome, I really think she could have gotten far. She could have been amazing. And she had a lot of promise, and it all just went tits up when she decided she wanted to get wasted instead. So,
well, and it didn't help that her parents are both absolute monsters in every way possible and would not get out of the press.
Yeah. Yup. Horrid. Horrid. And they actually split up when she was 3 years old and then got back together in 2005 and then got divorced. I can't imagine how much of a mind, like how, where her mind was at during that time. It would have been awful.
Well, and like get back together to like ride the gravy train that is their daughter that's become an A-list superstar.
Right. She got signed as a model at age 3, and by 10, yes, basically age 10, she was a veteran, because by that point she had done commercials for like big fast food restaurants. She had actually done a bunch of like modeling for like Calvin Klein, Abercrombie & Fitch. So by 10 years old, she's a vet. She's considered a veteran.
Yes. Right? And then starts starring in movies.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, right? Like, how old is she in The Parent Trap?
Yep.
She's like young.
Yeah. And I tell you what, before she was even 17, it was crazy the amount of stuff that she actually had done. She had released an album by age 17. By the way, I had to listen to the music just before I did this because I was like, I cannot remember. And I listened to it. It's trash. But it
absolutely not. How fucking dare you?
This Rumors? Isn't the album with Rumors on it, is it? Rumors is a classic.
Is an amazing song.
I'm telling Rumors, darling, whatever the rest of the words are.
Song. But
I know every single word to that song.
Oh, dear God.
That is,
why have we not sung this at karaoke?
It's a beautiful song.
You know, Christopher, it's a beautiful song.
It's great. It's a great pop song. I'm sorry. It's a great song.
I don't know. Okay. I've seen him get excited about a bag of chips like this, so I'm not going to. I'm not taking
I love bag of chips.
Rumor, they're Cool Ranch Doritos is what she's talking about. No, Rumors is great. I take umbrage with your comment because Rumors is a great song. And that album is great. Anyway, continuing on. So yeah, she had released an album. She had been in 9 million movies. We don't have to like explain her career to anyone.
By like anyone age 17.
Yes. And have had a bigger career than most adult working actors at that point.
Oh, and just,
that is an accomplishment to even be a celebrity that you could speak to someone who's 100 or 2 and you will just say Lindsay and they know exactly who you're speaking about. Fan or not, she is just one of those celebrities. And by the way, I have to say that when you said bag of chips before, I swear to God, I thought you meant bag of chips, the British drag queen. And that's why I started screaming because I love baga. And then when you were like, oh, potato chips, I was like, I'm an idiot. Do I say something or just do we keep moving on? But I couldn't keep it to myself because I didn't want to hear me reacting that strongly to a bag of potato chips on the podcast when I knew it was a person.
Also, that, you know, there's a bit of a connection to, speaking of addicts, obviously your previous person you tried to fix was Demi Lovato, also an addict. Do you know what connects her and Lindsay Lohan? Apart from the addiction?
Wilmer Valderrama. You're right.
His name? They both dated him. Both. She was 18 when she dated Wilmer. She was 18, and he was like, what? He's like 6 or 7 years old.
Wait, how old was he? 25. How old was he?
He's like 40-something. So I think there's a 7-year age gap between them from what I remember. So look at that connection. Hey, both vulnerable women, both young, both huge stars, pretty good at what they do. And Wilma sneaks his little butt right in. Just saying. That's kind of interesting.
His semen robs women of their self-respect.
Literally.
Side effect. Literally.
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 He was 24. Of the hour. She was 17.
Oh, 17. Oh.
Why is that his number? It's like Leo with 25, but he has 17.
According to Parade magazine, or parade.com. Hold on, let me do that quick. According to parade.com,
that sounds like a legit source.
Valderrama and Lohan were first spotted together in May 2004 when she was 17 years old and he was 24.
Well, if it's in parade.
They didn't make their relationship public until she turned 18 years old in July 2004.
I wonder why, Wilma.
So he did this multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Just saying.
That's vulnerable disgusting.
Women. Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is there even? How do we even do this? I'm like at a lot. There's so much I want to say.
So much. Because really, like, her troubles started back in 2007, where it was very apparent that there was an issue. Because on the film, what was it called? I know who killed me. That's
oh my God. That is, you are going so, that is like the end of the career.
Yeah. But that's when she was turning up on set, like late and like getting fucked up all the time.
Yeah.
And like the director was.
Let's go back. Sorry. So yes, correct. But before that, her career, she's in The Parent Trap as a child, carrying the entire movie as twins, being one person, where usually twins play one person. She's one person playing twins. She is then in a million other movies. Obviously, she's in one of the most successful teen comedies ever to exist, Mean Girls, and is the main character and is launched into a level of fame that like very few people have ever even touched. And then from there, like as that's all happening, her parents, I'm never going to not bring it back to her parents. Her parents are literally in the news every single fucking day for fighting with each other, always commenting about each other in the press, screaming at each other. Remember the photos of like them like walking and like, it would just be like the worst photos that you would see of like her mom like looking insane and her dad like screaming at people and like just they made a spectacle of themselves while their daughter was like, I'm just like trying to be an actor and like do what you guys have like basically groomed me to do my entire life and like make a lot of money for our family by being in Herbie Fully Loaded. Like
I mean, it was.
As someone from Long Island, I will tell you, we're so proud that
we're so proud about that.
We've always. They're like the Buttafuoco's, but with one talented child. Literally, that's how they're regarded on Long Island.
Her siblings are actors/models too. So
that's why I said one talented child. I'm aware of what the fuck they think they're doing with their careers.
But that was, I think, the beginning because we were like, oh, fuck. Like these, they were like every day Perez Hilton was like, that was like when Perez Hilton was like where you were going to get your like celebrity gossip.
Yeah.
And like every day it was a post about one of them saying something about the other one on TMZ or in this place or they were here and they were there and they yelled at someone. Like her parents were absolutely insufferable for like the majority of her adult career.
And they, you know, she peaked at the exact time that pop culture becoming, you know, less of a hobby and more of like a way of life for people specifically in our country, where it just became a part, knowing pop culture stats and news just became part of the everyday conversation.
Yeah.
And because love or hate him, because of people like Perez Hilton and the intersection of the rise of social media, whoever was hot at the time became the guinea pigs for, I mean, for everything, for what we're doing here on this podcast. Lindsay, Brittany, Paris. Yeah. I mean, that's the triumvirate.
The Holy Trinity.
They
the
are
picture
the
Holy
Trinity.
Trinity. Like, remember when they're on that car
photo
together?
I want to blow that photo up and just hang it over my fireplace because I really believe it is the most important piece of photojournalism of that decade. I'm only half kidding about it because that's what that whole decade was about. I mean, it's the rise of the form of entertainment we're giving you here has its roots, sadly, in the exploitative private lives of people like Paris Hilton and Britney Spears between like 2005 and 2010. It spawned an industry and they were part of it. Now, that mean we're letting her off the hook for her behavior? Absolutely not.
No, we're not.
Absolutely not. I'm sorry you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. But
in Paris Hilton's book, she talks about that photo and how people called it the Holy Trinity of bimbos or something like that. And how it was like people made fun of it. And now she's like, and now everyone loves that photo because it's like they're three queens. And apparently there's like, you can buy like, aluminum foil thing that you would like put on your windshield so that your car doesn't get too hot.
Yeah, yeah.
You can buy one of those that has that picture on it. And I think I need to buy one for myself and for you, Dominic, to have that.
Yeah, eBay.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I think I need that's I think that needs to be your birthday, your pride gift from me.
And you know what? I mean, obviously I will use it even in the wintertime when I go to Target. I will put that in the front of my car. It's funny to look back on it because all of these women are now hovering around 40, but they were so a part of our daily lives back then in the middle to late O's, I guess you would call them, that they seem, they seemed so old at the time. And these,
they were like 16 years old.
Right. They're in the prime of their lives right now. Like, it just feels like we're taking them out of mothballs. None of them are old. They're all, they're all 40. They're all still vital. They're all still young. It's so weird to think of that, you know, talk about this, these war stories from so many years ago. And they're now just, they're Beyonce's age.
Right.
And they're like, I was a minor. Like, do you know what I mean? Like when we were like, Lindsay Lohan's a fucking slut. Like she was literally 16 years old. Like, do you know what I mean? Like truly.
Right.
But then, I mean, like what else is there to say about her career? She's a humongous movie star. Everyone's obsessed with her. Like we're seeing her starting to drink and do drugs and go out and party with all these other like, steal, you know, jewelry. Paris and all them. Yeah. Oh my God. I forgot that she stole jewelry.
She stole that gold necklace. Do you remember? And then she, she didn't.
That was part of the whole thing. You know what I mean? Of being like, I'm going to rob, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm like, shoplifting.
Yeah.
But remember she had DUIs and she was in court and she wrote fuck you or something on her fingernails so the judge could see it. Remember? Okay, how, like, it was every moment she was in public was just another story. Like,
okay,
she
it's all coming back to me.
Yeah, legal trouble.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
And even when she wasn't doing shit, someone around her was doing it. Remember when Jason Davis, that sleazebag, called her fire crotch?
Yes.
And Perez Hilton put it on his website, and then it was just
mayhem.
People treated it like it was mayhem. Thank you. It was mayhem. People treated it like it was the funniest thing they had ever heard in their entire life, and it just, it branded her, pun intended. It literally branded her. And she just started this, this descent into pop culture chaos. I mean, well, she's really like the golden child of pop culture chaos.
100%. And the thing that's sad is like, okay, your parents are both literal piece. Like I would spit on them if I saw them in person. Like your parents are both human pieces of garbage that don't give a fuck about you at all. They just care about them being famous and like wanting to be at parties and doing shit like that. Cause never forget that they like tried to get the younger daughter to be on like a reality show about her life. They tried to Ashley Simpson, the younger sister. That didn't work. And like Dina was like supposed to be, it was like pretending to be the Chris Jenner, like didn't work. And who's there to like help this person who's like been a child star? We already know what's going to happen to her because she's a child star. Right. Like both of her parents could care less about her other than the money that she's bringing into the family. And then we all as a society literally roast her over an open flame for doing everything that she does. It's like there was no, it was never going to be a successful story. Right.
Yeah, it's like you said, Dom. It's like she came up at a time where there was all these rising stars and people were just getting scrutinized for every tiny little thing that they were doing. But the unfortunate thing with Lindsay Lohan is that she kept on screwing up publicly. Yeah,
absolutely.
Like I mean, she do you remember the time that she apparently put out an attack on Baron Hilton?
Yes, on Baron Hilton.
And she was like found guilty of doing that, like getting someone to kick the shit out of him or something. And that was nuts. That was a nuts story. I mean, what? And then there was a time she tried to kidnap a Syrian refugee.
Yes. I mean, on camera.
That was a low point.
Yeah, because she then, but the worst thing is to top it off. To top it off, guys, not only does she try and kidnap a Syrian child, she also does a weird Arabic kind of style accent.
Right.
And then seemingly trying to speak in Arabic, I think. I mean, what was that? How can come back from that?
She but is someone who like was so iconic in her moment that there's always going to be a big fan base of people who love her because they love Mean Girls or Parent Trap. Like, she'll always be impenetrable. So she's always going to have a group of people rooting for her no matter what. Mm. But every time she resurfaces, even like when the chaos has subsided, she just cannot even lift her head above water and just be like, everything is normal. Like, every time you hear about her, she is kidnapping a Syrian child or she is doing a comeback series, which is her owning a club in Mykonos. Sounds like a bad idea for an addict, but sure, we'll go along. And it fizzles very quickly. Yeah. You know, this is someone who we know is talented and who was billed that way as a kid. This wasn't a talentless child actor. The thing that frustrates me about her is after what would be considered periods of reflection for her, mm-hmm. when she pops up, it's always another moron moment. Like, right. What are you doing? Like, you're given a chance every 2 to 3 years to come back and show everyone what we know you are. And instead, you're attempting to kidnap a refugee and using an accent from a different continent that doesn't apply to you at all.
Right. And you know how she explained that away? Oh, but Dubai's my home. I live in Dubai. I don't know why I'm doing that accent for Lindsay. But anyway.
Like, I mean, that was basically what she sounded like too. So
yeah, I guess. That was her doing an Arabic accent. I live in Dubai.
And I think that all the, she's just like lost. Like, you know what I mean? I think that's really what it is like she, yes, she was trying to like kidnap a child, but like, I think she believed that she was trying to help the child.
Well, she did offer a hotel room.
Yes. I only bring up her parents so much is because like, they clearly didn't really care about her. And then like, from there, she's yet to find someone that like, other than now, I'm assuming her husband, who she's now having this child with is like the first person to like actually be like an anchor for her and not someone who's like using her because she's Lindsay Lohan. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And did you see the Christmas movie she did with Netflix? And she just signed like a 2 or 3 film deal or something with them.
Of course I did.
It's basically like Netflix does Hallmark, essentially, is what it is.
Yes, 100%.
And I actually must say that I enjoyed that Christmas movie. I loved it. But
it was great.
I can watch Tripe at Christmas and be fine with it. Again. This is lovely. I love it. You know, it doesn't matter. I was just going to say that, like, I think that if it was just like a normal, I don't know, an action or a drama movie, I don't know whether I would like it, but I think it's the nostalgia of Christmas that made me go, oh, I love this.
I knew that that's what it was going to be. Like, I knew that it was going to be like a Hallmark version movie. And so this is the other thing is like, I forgot that one, she like put a hit on Paris Hilton. I forgot about like when she had to go to trial and she had the blonde hair and she was really skinny. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And she's gotten all the work done and she looked so bad. And there was that picture of her and she looked so bad. And everyone was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Like every time she comes to do her comeback things or she tries to do something new, everyone wants her to succeed. That's something that I feel like we all want well for her. Which I can't say about many other people that we've talked about on this show so far.
Right.
Like we all really want her to like one, be okay. And like two, to like have a career again. Like even when she did the Mykonos thing, like we religiously watched that show for the first like 3 or 4 episodes. Cause I was like, I want this to work. Cause I want her to like have something to do and like be okay. And it was like a terrible television show. And it was very obvious that she was out of her mind, but like, I was like, oh, but now we can see that she's out of her mind and that she can then get help. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I feel like I speak for most of like America, dare I say, when I'm like, most people want her to be successful. And they like, my mom is like, oh my God, she's pregnant. I hope my boyfriend, Hassan's mom, who loves Freaky Friday, her favorite movie of all time. I was like, Lindsay Lohan's pregnant. And she's like, oh my God, what? And she's like, so happy. You know what I mean? Like, we all want her to be okay.
Yeah, there's just this quality that Lindsay Lohan has that differs from a few kind of celebrities where, like you say, you want her to be okay. And I think that's probably comes from the fact that because we know that her parents are like hideous creatures, and that she's a child prodigy, right? So she started at a very young age. And we've seen that over time. Like there's been a lot of like child actors from like, for instance, Wizard of Oz, you know?
Judy.
Judy Garland. Like Judy Garland. Like that was just tragic. And like, I really don't want this to end in tragedy for her because I think she could be so good.
Because you can pull out of it. Just having insane parents as a child star, you can. Drew Barrymore comes to mind. She talks about the most hideous shit that she did with her mother's consent as a kid. She talks about it on her show all the time, and she is now Drew Barrymore. You know, she is all love and light and Laura Ashley Gauchos and whatever the fuck else is going on there. But she's fantastic.
Spatulas in Walmart.
Yes,
Barrymore.
Yes.
Yeah, and shitty coffee machines. Good for her.
That's the thing, because every time we think that Lindsay is going to reclaim her Katie Heron or Freaky Friday glory, she gives us that Mykonos show, which was sort of like watching Vanderpump Rules if it took place in an actual state-run asylum. Like, it was just not... It was just not. I made it to the end of act two in the first episode and I was goodbye. I was like, I can't. My binge list is too long and you can't. You have to impress me right off the bat.
But it was also in friggin' Mykonos, which is like Brits Abroad hell. Like, Brits Abroad are the worst. It's like, all right, we're going to Magaluf from Mykonos. We're going to have steak and chips, which is exactly what we do in England.
We think like, oh, could she ever just get back to what you said, like Katie Heron fame? It's like, she can't, because that's like what her best role she's ever done. And it's like a role that will live on in infamy for the rest of like time because of how like iconic that movie is. You know what I mean? She was like literally at the top of the world.
Sure.
Like, she had the world in her palm.
Is Mean Girls Lindsay Lohan's Wizard of Oz? Is that it? Like, is she just always going to be a god? I am not projecting that her life should end the way that Judy's ended, obviously, but
yeah,
I know she's got more. I know that she is that actress. I know that she's, I just know she's super talented. I feel like we all know it and we're just waiting. That's what it gets frustrating about her, is that, you know, you're waiting for that next big role, but she's not, you know, that Netflix Christmas movie was, it just wasn't it. It just wasn't it for me. Where does she live currently? Has that been established since she announced? She still lives there.
I think so. She does not. I don't think she lives in the United States.
I will say that I was kind of, I remember, like, I felt like I hadn't seen Lindsay do anything for a while. And then she comes back, pops back up with a trout pout and like, looks like she's been in a fan and she's, you know, and it's the wind friggin' flew and it's stuck. Like, I was like, what happened?
Like, she's dressed as Kimberly Guilfoyle for Halloween and just, it's May. Take it off.
I was like, it was too much Botox in the old upper lip, my dear. Just lessen it up. You look like a trout.
You know, this isn't my pitch, but the obvious pitch to me really now, realizing that she still lives there, is that she could save the troubled Real Housewives of Dubai.
She should. Well, the fact that she's not on it is a crime. The fact that she's not on it is a crime. I'm sure they asked her and she was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
She'd be a fool to say no.
We would watch a show. This is the thing. No. This is the thing, though. I don't need her on an ensemble show. I'm watching her by herself. Yep. I'm watching her walk through a room alone and be insane.
Yeah.
I don't know if she can take that much responsibility currently.
She can't. She can't. I can watch that, though.
It's sort of like when they let Betty White host Saturday Night Live. They're like, well, you're going to do it, but we're also going to have three or four other hosts with you because it's a lot of work and your limited capabilities. I feel like Lindsay, while she is not in her 90s, there is still a limit to what she can do.
Yes, correct.
Artistically.
But every frame is watchable.
Yeah, it'd be great because it's like Lindsay, my life after, and it's like, oh, it's me with my baby and my husband, and this is how we live, and her just being normal, you know, but also talking about her struggles. Like, I'd watch
100% frame of it.
Yeah,
every single one of us would. Sorry, I mean, that's the winning pitch, honestly. Like,
we would
watch parties every week.
We all would every week. Yeah. I would watch it.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what my pitch is at this point. It's changed so much during this conversation.
I mean,
What was it going to be?
I don't know. I entered this episode and I was thinking, like, I was trying to think of the right role for her to break through. And I just don't know if that's the right thing. I thought her proving her talent, maybe on Broadway, maybe in a one woman sort of, or maybe or a one or two character limited series where she can play off of someone, but I'm not sure that I don't know that that's the answer.
She's done the West End.
Broadway's too much work.
Yeah, true.
What has she done on the West End? What did she do?
I don't even remember what it was, but she did a play on the West End like a few years ago. To be perfectly honest, I have no idea how it did, but she was in the West End. So she's done stage. I don't know. I think she's just, I mean, she's madder than a box of frogs, really, that one.
Oh my God. Of course. Of course. She was appearing in Speed the Plow in the role that Madonna was in when she made her Broadway debut.
Oh Lord.
Oh
Lord.
Oh my God. How the fuck did I forget about this? Every move this woman made before she went into obscurity, every single move was a headline. I'm catching up with this West End thing from a 2014 article in Vanity Fair. It's called Lindsay Lohan's London Theater Disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she was beautiful too. She's really beautiful. I don't know what she looks like currently, so I'm not making any sort of comparison, but she really was just quite beautiful.
All right, I think it's time for our pitches.
Give me your pitches.
Ready for my pitch?
Right, bring it on. Wait. No, stop.
Lindsay Lohan.
She adjusted herself in her chair.
Yeah, I had to position my bracing
She's
for
ready.
Impact. Right.
She's,
I am now ready. Okay.
Lindsay Lohan, you're on the right track right now. You're not going to do too much. You are going to have this baby. You are going to do a very tasteful, like People or like Vanity Fair or like other big publication, like exclusive photos of the baby right when it's born. You are then going to obviously like do motherhood for the first like 6 months. And then what I want you to do is to just start booking roles as like B characters in movies. Just be in more movies. You don't need to, the pressure does not need to be all on you. You don't need to be the star of your movie. You are going to be the funny B character that comes in a little bit in like random little movies. You're just going to like ease yourself back in. It's not for the first time ever. It's not going to be the here's Lindsay's comeback and we're going to all worship her again. You're just going to be a character in other people's movies and you're going to swallow your pride, be a mom, bring the baby on set and let everyone ooh and ah at it. And what I want you to do, and I don't know if I want her to do what Amy Schumer did when she did her like cell phone documentary that she basically just shot on a cell phone about her pregnancy, but some kind of like either maybe putting more stuff on social media. Uh-huh. But I kind of don't want it to be on social media. I kind of want it to be something we can watch on a TV of like you motherhood and just like showing us what you do every day. It's not a reality show. It's again, low pressure, not we're going to do this reality show that's going to be on Hulu and it's going to rival the Kardashians and it's the best thing that's ever happened. And then her mom's going to fly like, no. We're going to show you changing your baby's diaper and then like singing your baby a song. Like, we're going to see, like, your husband, like, burping your child while you, like, make a bottle for it. We're going to see, like, again, low stakes, but we're getting content that shows us that Lindsay's, like, alive. And then she's going to be this little B character in movies. She can do a little bit of press, but it's not this earth-shattering, like, tectonic plates are going to be in realignment comeback because it never works. So we're going to just ease her back. We're easing her in. We're easing ourselves in. We're easing the press in to just like her being a person in the world again
here.
that we care.
We're easing but like ourselves
we,
in.
We get so ahead of ourselves and then she gets it. Like everyone just gets ahead of it. And then we're like waiting for it to be the best thing in the whole world. And then it's that Hallmark Christmas movie that was like exactly what I assumed it would be. But like, sure, great. Like, it took her three days to film that movie. That is my pitch.
Right. So
that's my pitch.
I feel like that's definitely the reality pitch, and now I'm waiting for the circus pitch.
Well, I'm the only other person here, so what the fuck are you saying? She should be named
Your
the American ambassador to
hinge.
The. No, they should be. She should be named ambassador to the United Arab Emirates, home of.
Oh my God.
I, by the way, that is not my pitch.
Oh,
it should be. It should be.
It really should. That's it. Done. Circus pitch.
As Christmas, this always happens a lot. Here is my circus pitch. But I also did get another idea, which I will not count as my pitch. But while I was listening to Chris, I would like to actually do something unprecedented.
Here we go.
Add what I think is that, as part of Chris's pitch, as an addendum, as these B roles, she should be playing Amy Poehler's role in the new Mean Girls movie musical that they're filming. Wow. She should just take over the cool mom role. I'm giving that to you and putting that into the B-roll part of your pitch.
Interesting.
Wow, that's good. Wow, thank you.
I mean,
you.
She's
that's
the right age. She's the right age. She should do
yes.
it.
And you say that's a gift. That's a gift that will keep on giving too, just like Mean Girls.
It sure will.
Like. Oh, yes.
That idea is so good. I'm patting myself on the back, and I have to believe that someone's already thought of it. Like, someone had to have approached her to be in that movie at some point. So let's see what happens.
They were like, they were like, we will do like whatever you want. We're ready.
I'm sure. Yeah. I do think, you know, when I was researching while we were talking earlier, and this is terrible, you know, we do not slut shame on this podcast. We only slut fame because we think it's fantastic. But apparently one of her scandals, which I forgot from 10 years ago, was a list. What am I reading here?
Oh, the list of men, the conquests.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. A list that she had allegedly written featuring 36 men she had slept with was published. And the list included Heath Ledger, James Franco, Adam Levine, Zac Efron, Justin Timberlake, Colin Farrell, Joaquin Phoenix, Wilmer Valderrama, and Jamie Dornan. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as lists go, that's a good one.
That's a great list.
I mean, is there a weak one? I mean, Joaquin Phoenix, I could probably do without, but everyone else on that list.
Yeah, but they're both freaks. They're both freaks. So they would have been like, it was probably wild.
It was probably a one and done too. It was probably a one. You didn't hear from her for 6 weeks after those encounters, probably.
I also don't believe that that's real, like at all. Like, anyone can write down a list and be like, Lindsay Lohan wrote this. Like, do you know what I mean?
I do, but I kind of want it to be true because it makes me emulate her more. I think this is my real pitch. I think that remember the show based tightly on The Bachelor called Unreal.
Yes.
I want there to be a show based loosely/tightly on Lindsay Lohan's life, and it should be called Unraveling. And if you are looking her up online, literally every time this woman left the house between the years 2004 and 2016, it just went on TMZ because she did something or said something. It's not a mini series. It's like a multi-year, I'm talking a 60 episode commitment based on her life. She can executive produce it. And in each episode, she plays a different C character, a cashier, a driver. And that's how we then get reminded that she's an actor. During all this time, she's nursing her baby offset. By the time the kid's 3 years old, she could split some duties with the nanny. And then after 3 years on Unraveling, she can then start doing the B roles and then turn into the Meryl Streep that we all knew her to be. And that's it. Just a little bit of a mockumentary, a little bit of owning the narrative, as it were, where she gets to tell an exaggerated version of her story as a dramedy. And then when it's run its course, she resumes life as a 40 plus year old actual actress.
Oh, interesting. The circus pitch wasn't that much of a circus.
Wasn't too circusy this week.
No, it wasn't, Dominic. I do like your idea, Dominic. I think it's cool. You know, it'd be fun to see her doing a role if it was like a bit wacky and off the wall. But to be honest, because she is now having this child, I wonder whether it's better for her to have more of a reality thing, which is what you said, Chris, because we just see her being normal. I think we need to see her being normal. I think we need to see that, like, she's okay. It's like you were saying, like, it would be great if she did just like go, oh, I am loving life right now. My cup runneth over, you know, or whatever. So I think it would be nice to, as you can see, I'm going for Chris's bitch here.
I've already marked it down
on the slapper sheet.
Yes, it's already, I'm literally typing Chris wins again. Because he keeps bringing his friends on this podcast, and I don't have any friends to come here and pick my fucking
Dominic.
Ideas,
Dominic, book people on our podcast.
I don't know anybody, Chris. You're my only friend. I have my husband and you, and that's my whole life.
He did slip me a fiver earlier on, so there you go.
It's
no, Chris's idea is great. There's no there's no anger here. When I win, Chris goes into an absolute rage.
Not even true. I half the time I'm like, I know Dominic's already going to win. I literally call it before we even do it.
But
you're like, only saying that to save face, Christopher, and I know it because you're just like, oh, no, I just couldn't be a bit of a diva.
Oh my god, you guys are!
I feel it through the podcast.
I literally am like, I know Dominic's going to. I'm like, I know when he's going to have a really good idea. I know when he's going to have one.
It just
and
wasn't
every time
today.
I said that he's won. It just wasn't today. No, but what I will say is that the thing I highlighted a lot in my pitch is what you did, which is like, again, oh, this is going to be all about her life and it's going to be this and it's going to be that. And it's like, no, that's too much for her.
You're probably right.
Someone else's life.
It's too much.
You know, because then everyone in the press is going to build that as this is her tell all. It's going to be this. She's going to do so much. No, she needs to just like.
I will
be
say a lot of the people.
Like, be just like the UPS girl, like in a show that shows up and is like, hey, like, what's up, blah, 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 something. And then like is off, you know?
Yeah.
I think we talk about a lot of true fucking assholes on this show who we make an attempt to fix. But secretly in my head, I'm like, this person's just going to be this way forever. I firmly believe that.
We literally, you know that literally, well, Samara, you do know, is that we literally will be like, we call this pulling a Meghan Markle, like all the time on the show.
I firmly believe that Lindsay Lohan has it in her. I do. I don't, for as many times as it's been like a swing and a miss, I believe that her greatness is coming. And I don't think she's going to have to rely on the right writer or the right director. I think she has seen and done enough that she knows how to do this. She just has to want it. And you know, maybe she doesn't want it. I mean, I'm not even considering that. Maybe she's...
Well, that's the other thing.
She went through enough as a kid and with that family. Maybe she's just like, fuck you guys. The Mykonos thing was the best it's going to get. Now I'm going to have kids. Goodbye.
But she has to do is say that. Like, I don't want to be an actor anymore. But she knows that. But that's the thing is that she knows that she can just like be like, I want to be in a movie. And then everyone's like, okay, we'll write you a Netflix Christmas movie. And they'll pay her out the nose. And
well, they've got the deal that she has is another, I think, two or three movies with Netflix. She's got another one coming out next year. And then you got to remember, she's like, she's a businesswoman. She's had her finger in a few pies.
Sure.
So.
I mean, I think what I mean by that is
that she's really trying. She's like she's trying so hard.
I know. So, I just want her to focus.
Yeah, she doesn't need exactly. She doesn't need to try so hard. That's the thing. You know, I would watch her watch paint dry.
Yes, right. It's what I'm, again, her in her house being weird is a great show. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm like, adjusting my pitch. Yeah. I think now I did not know that she still had remaining projects on her deal with Netflix, and I think they should put her in everything. I think she needs to be the new child on Bridgerton. I think she needs to be the first one dead in the new Squid Game. I want her in all of it.
Blind. Wait.
Yes.
She should host it. She should host Blind.
It's literally Nick and Vanessa Lachey, and then she, like, her head just, like, pops up and is, like, it's, like, in the middle of them. It's, like, all three of them hosting it. Oh, my God, you're right. You're so right.
Oh, my gosh. That would work. That would work.
You've already chosen Chris, and we cannot take it back once it's been stated publicly, but had you said that just 2 minutes earlier, you would have won. You would have won, but we didn't take back a win.
God. dear God. Imagine her. Wait, we have to just drink this in for a second. Imagine Lindsay Lohan hosting Love is Blind. Like, imagine them coming in thinking they're going to see Vanessa Lachey, and it's Lindsay Lohan standing. I have goosebumps.
I'm serious. The same. I think my nipples just got hard, and I am smuggling tic tacs right now.
I have
people
goosebumps.
Would pass out.
I would pass out in my home.
Yeah.
Imagine. This is, oh my, guys.
Please get in touch with Netflix. Netflix, if you're listening,
we have
a multi-million pound idea.
My heart would stop. I would like literally cease to exist. Imagine her standing there, and then she turns around, and all the girls who expecting fucking dumbass Vanessa Lachey to be like, hey, ladies. And it's literally Lindsay Lohan. I would have, if I was one of those women, I would shit twice and die on the spot.
Right. 100%.
Think about that. I'm floating. I'm literally on cloud nine
You're
right now.
You're in the stratosphere right
not,
now.
Not before you start saying, let's celebrate today. And then
think about,
pass out.
Think about that. That would be amazing.
Right, right.
And they would just not, okay. And then they wouldn't even say anything and they would just do it. Like they wouldn't even promote that she's going to be the host. They would just drop it and just like let us understand.
What I think would be great is if they didn't even tell Nick and Vanessa. And so they're opening it on the first show. And then in walks Lindsay, just looks at them and says, get out. And they, without speaking, just turn around and walk away.
They will be
like, we have been out aughted by the queen of the aughts. So what are we doing here?
Yes.
We're going to go home and watch reruns of Nick and Jessica Newlyweds.
Okay. I have to go like get on whatever airplane I'm piloting right now because I'm off of this planet.
You are so ridiculous.
I love it. I'm loving it. I wish I'm going to be so sad when the next season comes out and this isn't what happens.
And it's not.
You're going to have to get an AI generated version of the show where they just put Lindsay's face on Vanessa Lachey.
I'm just going to like print out like a little like cardboard cutout that's like as big as a playing card and just like hold it up in front of it. Like in front of my own face. Like when
and close one eye
on my screen.
Yeah.
Please live stream me for that one.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, we did it.
This has been so much fun. We did it. You're welcome, Lindsay.
Samara.
We love you, Lindsay. Let's celebrate you today.
Yes.
And we really do. Honestly, like I said, there are some real assholes we feature here, but we love Lindsay. We love every perceived fuck up and triumph. We do want her to succeed.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, Samara, where can people find you?
You can find me on Samara the Baker on all the socials. And I'm currently a cast member at the Waxahachie Renaissance Festival in Texas. And both.
If you want to tell us a little bit about it.
I don't even know why I'm laughing at it. Sometimes I laugh just when I see other people laughing. That's what I'm doing. I'm laughing with you, and I don't know why. Why are you laughing at this thing that you're explaining? Where you are?
It's just ridiculous. I'm basically a cast member, and I'm playing the Viscountess Beecham at the Scarborough Fair. Renaissance Festival in Waxahachie, Texas. So
I love that.
Yeah,
isn't that amazing?
You're booked. Yeah,
so if you're there,
if
you're in the area, find our girl.
Yeah, I will be more than likely dragging revelers into the pubs, mainly men, and tearing them a new one. So that's what I tend to do. Mm. And then you can also find both my shows on Discovery Plus. So there you go. You can binge watch me if you want.
Woohoo!
Dominic.
You can find me on my website, which is dominterry.com, which links to all my socials, which is at Dominic Pupa. I'm also doing a show at the Cutting Room in New York this Pride, June 16th and 22nd. It's called Surprising No One. Tickets are available on my website or at thecuttingroomnyc.com. Christopher, where, for the love of God, can we find you?
You can find me at The Krista Rosa. Please rate and review the show and write in your review who you want us to fix next. As always, I wish you well, and hashtag where's Shelly. Goodbye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.